All right, if you have your Bible or however you access the Word of God this morning, I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to read three verses, beginning with the 16th verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and beginning with the 16th verse. If you are having a difficult time memorizing verses, these are three you could jump on real quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 16. Paul says, rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. In verse 18, he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I want to stop right there this morning. I'll ask that you bow your heads and let's pray and ask the Lord for his help. Heavenly Father, we are so privileged to be able to gather here in this place this morning to worship you and to honor you and to open your word. Father, it is my privilege this morning to be able to minister to these, your people here today. And I would pray, Heavenly Father, that you would let the enabling anointing of the Holy Spirit please touch my life, touch my heart, touch my mind, touch my spirit, and enable me. Give me divine capability to minister your precious word. I would ask that you would put your thoughts in my mind, your word in my mouth, and that you would let it come forth under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I would ask, Father God, that everything that is said will be said to glorify Christ, and everything that is done will be done to edify your people that are here today. Give us all, I ask, Lord, ears to hear what the Spirit would speak to our heart. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would enable me and use me as an instrument in your hand today. Let me exalt you. Give us liberty to minister your word. And we will forever give you the praise and forever give you the thanks. And we ask these things, Lord, in the mighty and the wonderful name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. So I want to title my message this morning, Thanksgiving, A Matter of Perspective. Thanksgiving, a matter of perspective. The text that we have shared here this morning was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Thessalonica. And it is here in this fifth chapter that Paul deals with three basic topics. If I may this morning just to give you an outline of the chapter. This is the last chapter in this particular book. And if I may this morning, let me just give you a brief outline of the things that the Apostle Paul is covering as he is speaking to the church in Thessalonica. In verses number 12 through number 13, Paul deals with how the people of the church ought to relate to the leadership of the church. And he says in verse number 12 of that fifth chapter, he says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and those that admonish you. He's talking about the leadership of the church. He's saying, know them, be acquainted with them, understand who they are, and know them that labor among you and admonish you. It is my job this morning to encourage and admonish and, yes, correct and instruct, amen, and admonish you in the ways of the Lord. And then Paul says in verse 13 to the church how to relate to the leadership. He said, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Admonish them, admire them, uphold them, and show them respect, and show them love, and esteem them very high in love for their calling. So he's dealing with how that the church should relate to leadership. And then in verse number 13 through verse number 15, Paul begins to deal how the people of the church ought to relate to one another. In verse number 13, he says, be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. He's explaining to the church body how they are to relate to one another. He says, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that no one renders evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good. Now listen to this. Both among yourselves and to all men. In other words, he said, don't just treat your brothers and sisters with kindness and with respect and dignity and encouragement, but treat everybody that way. Not only within the church body, but outside of the church body as well, to all men. And then in verse number 16 through verse number 22, Paul begins to deal how that the people of the church ought to relate to God. So in the first verses, he's telling the church how to relate to the leadership, and then he's telling them how to relate to one another. And now he comes to the point where he begins to explain to them or begins to admonish them how they should relate to God. And he says in verse number 16, rejoice evermore. Some translations say rejoice always. And then verse 17, he says, this is how you should relate to God. Pray without ceasing, or pray continually. Continually be in an attitude of prayer. And then he comes to verse 18 and he says, in everything, some translations say, or in all circumstances, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Three things: rejoice always, pray continually, and in everything or in all circumstances, give thanks unto God. For this is the will of God concerning Christ Jesus concerning you. This passage of scripture this morning is easy for us to interpret, but oftentimes in a practical world, amen, it becomes difficult to apply. How many of us that are here this morning can say that we are always rejoicing? How many of us that are here this morning can say that we are always continually in an attitude of prayer? Hey, how many of us can say that we are always thankful in every situation? It's easy to interpret. I mean, we recognize, we realize what he said, but now we have to apply it. And that's where it becomes more difficult. The bar gets raised in these few verses. The standard for our conduct is set high or at a high level. And all too often, there are times that we find it difficult to meet the demands of the text. Can you say amen? The verses that Paul writes are not just simply three easy memory verses for us to memorize. When DJ came to the podium a moment ago, he told Easton to say, Jesus wept. That's an easy one. Amen. That's an easy one. How about 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16? Rejoice always. That's an easy one. How about 17? Pray without ceasing. That's an easy one. But they're more than just an easy memory verse. Paul is telling us three important things that God expects us as believers. Amen. He's telling us three important things that God expects us to do as Christians. But he's also giving us the instructions that God expects us to do them on a continual, always basis. That's not so easy to do. As a believer, we are not to just occasionally rejoice. As a believer, we are not to just occasionally be a part-time prayer warrior. I mean, you know, sometimes we are a part-time prayer warrior. Whenever the thing affects us, boy, we know how to pray. But if it's somebody else's problem, that's their problem. Hello? Amen. We're not to be just a part-time prayer warrior. Amen. He says for us to continually pray without ceasing. We're not to just give thanks in certain select situations. It's easy to give thanks when everything is going well. It's easy to give thanks when we have all that we need. It's easy to give thanks when everything is falling in place and life is running smoothly. But we are told here in our text that we are to rejoice always. We are to pray continually and in every circumstance or in all circumstances we are to give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now that's a hard pill to swallow. But notice for a minute this morning, he did not say that for everything give thanks. He didn't say for everything give thanks. He said in everything give thanks. Big difference. Amen. We don't give thanks for the problem. We give thanks in the midst of the problem, in the problem. Can you say amen? Amen. We don't give thanks for the situation or the circumstance, but we give thanks in. Rejoice always. Amen. Rejoice when everything is going well. Rejoice when all the bills are paid. Rejoice when everything is falling in place. But hey, when everything seems like it's falling apart, what does God expect us to do? He expects us to rejoice. Why? Because he is a God that is big enough to see us through whatever situation that we are facing. Amen. We don't have to praise him for it, but praise him in spite of the problem. Give him thanks in spite of the situation. So notice with me this morning, first of all, there are three commands. We are told to rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. And then secondly, there are three modifiers which add depth or add a deeper meaning to the command. When are we commanded to do these things? When are we commanded to rejoice and pray and give thanks? When are we are commanded to do so always, without ceasing or continually, and in everything. And then we are given one reason why. The final, there is a reason, one reason why. And the reason that's given is for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. In other words, how many of you believe the Bible when he said that the steps of a good man or a woman are ordained of God? God leads and guides our steps. Sometimes God leads into difficult places. Ask, amen, ask the three Hebrew children. They were led into a very difficult situation. Ask Daniel. He was led into a very difficult situation. But they all kept the faith and they all continued to pray and they all continued to praise. And God delivered them. Sometimes we may have to go through the fire. But I'm here to tell you this morning that if you'll hang on to the hand of God, God. Keep your eyes upon the Lord and continue to pray and continue to give thanks and continue to worship. God will bring you out on the other side. To put these verses in a concise homiletical form, I could put it this way. God's will for us in Christ Jesus is that we always, continually, in all circumstances, that we are to be a joyful people. In all things, in all ways, continually, in all circumstances, we are to be a prayerful people. And in all things and in all ways, under all circumstances, we are to be a thankful people. And to me, when I read that, it sounds like a very tall order. Hello? How can I rejoice continually? How can I be filled continually with the joy of the Lord when we know that life does not always cooperate? How can we be ever prayerful and continuously in prayer? Because after all, there are times that I gotta sleep. After all, there are times that I have to converse with someone else. How can I continually be in a state of prayer, amen, when I have work to do and other things that I have to, amen, accomplish in life? How can I possibly be continuously thankful when we all know the situations sometimes that we encounter are not always pleasant and they are not always enjoyable? How can we always be rejoicing? How can we always be prayerful? How can we always be in a spirit of thanksgiving unto God? And my answer to that question this morning is it is a matter of perspective. I submit to you this morning that the answer to the question is, it is a matter of perspective. A matter of perspective. Amen. If we are looking at things from an earthly perspective, and we are looking at things from an earthly angle, then it would certainly be difficult for us to always be rejoicing. It would certainly be difficult for us to always continually be in an attitude of prayer or an attitude of thanksgiving. But listen to me for a moment this morning. If we will look at our troubles and our hardships through the eyes of faith, even in the midst of our trials, even in the midst of our hardships, then we could have joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. If we'll keep our eyes looking through the lens of faith, then we can have peace that passes all understanding. Amen. If we'll keep looking at things through the eyes of faith, faith will give us a different perspective upon our situations. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. One could say, how many of you like paying taxes? Anyone? Well, one could say, I'm thankful for the taxes that I pay because it means that I'm employed. Are you thankful for your job? One could say, I put on a little weight and my shirt's a little too snug. But you could look at it in a whole different way. One could say, I'm thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug because it means that I'm eating all right. Hello. Amen. I'm thankful this morning for the lawn that needs mowed and the windows that need cleaned and the driveway that needs plowed off because it means that I have a home to live in. I'm thankful this morning for the parking lot, a spot that I find out in the South 40 at Walmart and I have to hike in. I'm thankful for it. You know why? I got two good legs and I can do it. I'm thankful for the heating bill. Don't let Intermountain Gas hear that. But it means that I'm warm and I'm comfortable. In my home, I have heat. I don't have to be out in the weather. Thank God. Amen. One could say, I'm thankful for the pile of laundry and the pile of ironing that needs to be done, because it means my family are nearby and the ones that I love are close by. Amen. I'm thankful for the alarm clock when it goes off in the morning at 5:30 a.m. You know why? Thank God I'm alive. A matter of perspective. I read a little story this past week that I thought described perspective beautifully. The little story that I read was about a young college girl writing home to her mother, and it fits perfectly with what I am trying to get across this morning. Susie writes, "Dear Mom, sorry I haven't written sooner, but my arm really is broken. I broke it and my left leg when I jumped from the second floor of my dormitory when we had the fire. We were lucky, though. A young service station attendant saw the blaze, called the fire department, and they were there in a matter of moments. I spent a few days in the hospital, but Paul, the service station attendant, came to see me every day. And because it was taking so long to get our dormitory livable again, I moved in with him. He has been so nice. I must admit, I'm pregnant. But Paul and I plan to get married just as soon as he can get divorced. I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine. I'll write more when I get the chance. Love you, Susie. P.S. None of the above is true, but I did get a C in sociology and I flunked chemistry, and I just wanted you to receive that news with the right perspective. True? In other words, while you're looking on the downside, beloved, you can always... The rose bush has thorns, but thank God for the rose. Amen. Perspective is everything. And you may be thinking to yourself, Pastor Gary, what are you getting at this morning? What I'm trying to get across to us is that if we will stop looking at things in the light of this earthly realm, or in the light of the temporal, or in the light from an earthly perspective, and start looking at things in the light of eternity and from an eternal perspective, we will recognize that we have a whole lot to rejoice about. We'll recognize that we have a whole lot to pray about. And we will recognize that we have much to be thankful for. Let me just take those three words this morning and just give you some examples of what we can rejoice about and what we can pray about and what we have to be thankful for. I want to begin with the word rejoice. The word rejoice describes a genuine happiness or a contentment. It means that it affects one's countenance and one's attitude, and it describes an encouraging and positive outlook in, amen, that manifests itself in someone's life, in their words, in their deeds, and in their actions. Beloved, let me just tell you this morning that the attitude of rejoicing needs to be our attitude. We have need to have a constant, joyful attitude in the Lord, and that doesn't mean that we run around acting like the class clown with a smile on our face all the time. But what it means is that we ought to have a sincere rejoicing in the Lord and a sincere joy in our salvation in the Lord. And we ought to have a joyful disposition. Instead of getting up in the morning and putting on an old grumpy goat coat, we ought to get out of bed and rejoice in the Lord and thank God for all the things that He's blessed us with, and all the things that He's given to us, and all the things that He's done in our lives. If we look this morning through the lens of faith, amen, in the light of eternity, we have much to rejoice about. We can rejoice this morning that we have been called out of darkness and called into His marvelous light. Is that not reason to rejoice? Amen. We can rejoice that we have been saved by the grace of God through our faith, and we've been born again by the eternal Spirit of the living God. Is that not something to give glory and praise unto the Lord about? Amen. We can rejoice that our past has been forgiven and that our future has been secure in Christ Jesus by the precious blood of the Lamb. We can rejoice in the Lord, knowing that God loves us unconditionally. How many of you are thankful this morning that God loves us unconditionally? Amen. If it were based upon works, I'm afraid that I would not qualify. Hello? Amen. But thank God my salvation, your salvation, is not based upon what you do and what your works are. It is based upon the unconditional love of God the Father, who said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And it's based upon what happened at Calvary. Is that not a reason to rejoice? Amen. We can rejoice that our name has been written down in the Lamb's book of life. How many of you know this morning that there is going to come a day when all, the Bible said, the great and the small are all going to stand before God in His very presence. And the Bible said that He's going to open the book. And if your name is not found in the book of life, you're going to be cast out into outer darkness, where the Bible said there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, and not just for a while, but forever and forever and forever. Oh, thank God my name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. We can rejoice that our Savior Jesus Christ, amen, defeated our adversary, the enemy Satan, at Calvary. The Bible said that He made a show of him openly, triumphing over him in the cross. Amen. We can rejoice this morning that the Bible said that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. Do you hear what I'm talking about? You get your eyes, amen, on temporal things, and it'll rob you of your joy. It'll rob you of your rejoicing. But hey, amen, look through the lens of faith. Look through the eyes of faith, and look through the lens of eternity, and you'll recognize you got a whole lot to be rejoicing about. It's all a matter of perspective. Psalms chapter 68, verse number 3 said, but let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Psalms 35 and verse number 9 said, my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation. Amen. Psalms 118 and verse number 24 said, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalms chapter 33 and verse number 1, the psalmist said, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, and give praise to His name, ye upright. Philippians 4 and 4, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Amen. Beloved, stop looking at your trouble, amen, and the trials of life through the lens of the earthly, and begin to look at them through the eyes of faith and rejoice in the Lord. God intends for us to continually, always be rejoicing in Him. Hallelujah. Perspective is everything. Amen. Perspective is everything. In light of eternity, we have much to pray about. We need to have a constant and continual attitude of prayer. The old song says, what peace we often forfeit, all because we do not take everything to God in prayer. Amen. The Bible tells us to be a praying people. The Bible said in Luke chapter 18 in verse number 1, the Bible said that Jesus spake a parable unto His disciples unto this end, that men ought always to pray and faint not. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18 said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Pastor Gary, I don't know what to pray about. Let me give you some things that if you're looking through the eyes of faith, you can pray about. Pray and confess your sin. Pray for guidance and pray for daily decisions, amen, in your life that you will have the will of the Lord. Pray for provision for your daily needs. Pray for the lost who are unsaved. Pray this morning for your brothers and sisters who are struggling in their faith. Pray, amen, for the church to grow and for the, amen, for the church to reach people with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray this morning for God to keep working on your heart. Pray for a greater measure of wisdom. Amen. Pray for a greater measure of God's wisdom to permeate your spirit and permeate your mind. Let me just tell you this morning that prayer can be made alone. Prayer can be made together. Prayer can be silent. Prayer can be audible. Prayer can be praise. Prayer can be a petition. Prayer can be in a sanctified place. Prayer can be made at all hours of the night. And prayer can be made at all hours of the day. Prayer can be made upon the mountaintop and down by the river's edge where you're fishing. Prayer can be right in the middle of your car on your way to work. Amen. Let me give you some examples. Jesus prayed in the garden. The disciples prayed in the upper room. Peter prayed on the housetop. Amen. In Philippi, they prayed down by the river. And Paul and Silas prayed in jail. Brother, I said we ought to have a continual attitude of prayer. Hallelujah. Prayer changes things. And he said, I want you to continually pray without ceasing. Pray continually. Continually be in an attitude of prayer. Continually be in an attitude of supplication. Take everything to God in prayer. In light of eternity, we have much to pray about it. How many of you want your loved ones to be saved? Amen. Pray. Pray. How many of you want your loved ones to be delivered? Pray. Pray. Amen. We are given the command to, amen, to rejoice, to pray, and to be thankful. Not sometimes, not part of the time, but always, continually, in everything. Pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come to that third, give thanks. Thanksgiving, a matter of perspective. Give thanks. We need to have a constant attitude of thanksgiving unto the Lord, a constant attitude of gratitude toward God. Our hearts need to be filled with an overwhelming thankfulness for what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. The psalmist said in Psalms 100 in verse 1 through 4, he said, shout joyfully to the Lord, all ye earth. How many of you know that qualifies you? You're a candidate. Shout to the Lord, all ye earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give him thanks and bless his holy name. Now, the psalmist is actually telling us how that we are to approach God. How many of you know that the gate is normally not at the front door? The gate is out in the yard. Hello? And he says, when you enter his gates, when you get out in the outer court, when you get in the yard, when you start to come into the yard, that's when I want you to begin to be thankful. Amen. Begin to give thanks unto God. Not when you get in the house of the Lord and the music starts and you feel them Holy Ghost doodads on the back of your neck so big you can hang a hat on them. No, no, no. Start before you get here. Live a life of thanksgiving unto God. Give praise and give thanks to him and bless his name. Psalms chapter 34 and verse number 1. The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. I will. It is my will to glorify and bless God. It's a matter of my perspective. I will bless the Lord. May not look like I got a reason to. May not look like I got a right to. But I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise and my thanksgiving giving unto God will always be in my mouth. Ephesians 5 and 20 said, give thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4 and 6 said, be careful for nothing. That doesn't mean live like a maniac. It means don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. Don't allow anxiety, don't allow worry, don't allow fear, don't allow doubt to grip your heart. Amen. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Our prayer should be mingled with thanksgiving. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Give him thanks, not for the problem, but that he's a God that's big enough to see you through the problem. Give him thanks, not for the situation, but give him thanks in spite of the situation. Give him thanks regardless of the circumstances in your life. Give him thanks for his grace. Look through the eyes of faith and give him thanks for his mercy. Give him thanks for his long suffering. Give him thanks for family and friends that love you. Amen. And encourage you. Give him thanks this morning for a church family that loves you and cares for you. Give him thanks this morning for every material blessing that you have in your life, because you didn't earn it on your own. The Bible said that he opened his hand and he satisfies the desire of every living thing. Amen. Nothing that we have and nothing that we are, amen, we have of our own, but it was a gift from God, and our responsibility is to give thanks. Thanks. Give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks unto his holy name. Give thanks unto God. Amen. Give thanks for his goodness. Give thanks this morning for all that he has done for us. I'm going to try to close. Amen. We are commanded to, amen, to rejoice always. We are instructed and commanded to pray, amen, continually. We are instructed to give thanks in everything, because God's will and God's purpose is being worked out in our lives. I could give you example after example. Last week I gave you the example of Joseph. It's fitting this week. Joseph, thrown in prison, committed of a crime that he didn't commit. And you know what happened when Joseph finally got out of prison and was exalted to second in command over all of Egypt? And he finally met his brothers who had put him there. He could have said, I have been waiting for today. Payback. I won't finish that. Payback time. Hello? Nope, that's not what he did. You know what he said? He said, you didn't put me here. I know you meant it for evil, but you didn't put me here. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God was with me the whole time, and God's plan was worked out the whole time. Even though he couldn't see it right away, he stayed faithful and he gave thanks. In the hard times, he gave thanks when it didn't look like he had reason to think. Amen. He gave thanks. He looked on the eternal side. Amen. Like Job, who said, amen, Job's wife come out, looked at him in his pitiful condition and said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Job said, you sound like a foolish woman. You sound like a fool. If God slays me, yet will I trust him. And in my flesh, I know I will see God. Hallelujah. In other words, honey, this ain't the end of the story. And I'm just going to keep praising through the rough time until God gets me through on the other side. Hello? We are to rejoice. We are to always rejoice. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing and give thanks in all situations, all circumstances, for this is the will of God concerning you. Let me tell you, this is what the Lord laid on my heart. I'm going to wrap it up right here. I know some of you here this morning are going through a thankless situation. I know some of you here this morning are going through a thankless situation in your life. But I'm going to tell you this morning, amen, instead of looking at the circumstances and the problems and the situations through the lens of the earthly, change your perspective. Begin to look at it through the eyes of faith. And begin to look at it through the lens of eternity. And recognize that God has another plan, even though you don't see it now. Begin to recognize, begin to understand that if you will just continue to obey the word of God and rejoice with a rejoicing attitude and a joyful heart in the Lord for his eternal blessings, and you pray without ceasing and you give thanks when it doesn't look like you got a reason to thanks, amen, then I'm going to tell you something. God will work everything out for our good. You hear what I'm talking about? God will work everything out for our good, for our benefit. This Thanksgiving, when you sat down with your family and friends and you begin to say grace and you begin to give thanks, remember, Thanksgiving is not just a one-day event on the calendar. But as a believer, we are commanded to give thanks in all things, at all times, under every circumstance. And maybe you have to be like Susie, you know. Maybe you have to look at the wild side before you can understand the good things. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Maybe you have to look at the hard times in order to really cherish. You can't, amen, you can't really enjoy the sunshine until you've experienced the rain. Hello? That's what I'm talking about this morning. Amen. Give thanks unto the Lord. When you sit down, look at things through the eyes and the lens of faith. Amen. And make your perspective on the day and on your life, amen, a thankful perspective unto God. It's all a matter in how we look at it. It's all a matter of perspective. Bow your heads, please, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning I ask that as we have endeavored to minister the word that you have laid upon my heart, I pray, Father God, that you will help us to understand what the concluding remarks of the Apostle Paul's epistle means in our lives. That we are to always, continually, in all things, be rejoicing, be prayerful, and be thankful. The mark, you said in your word, Lord, the mark of the latter days. You said it to Timothy. You said the mark of the latter days would be that there would be a time when people were unthankful, that they would be unholy, high-minded, and that they would be unthankful. Heavenly Father, let not an unthankful spirit be the mark on our life, but in all things, in all ways, continually, let us be found giving you worship, giving you thanks, and giving you praise for all that you have already done on our behalf. And let us be a thankful people in your sight. I ask it in Jesus' name. Every head is bowed, every eye closed. How many of you here this morning would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I needed to hear this message because I haven't been very thankful lately. Yes, 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 yes. God bless your hands, hands all over the building this morning. Anyone else, you'd say, Pastor Gary, I'm guilty. I haven't been very thankful. Do you realize how blessed we are? How blessed we are. Stand to your feet. Hands have been lifted. Stand to your feet if you would, please. Just bow your heads. Just talk to the Lord this morning as they play softly. Father, you saw every single hand lifted here in this house this morning. Consciously, Lord, consciously we come to you and admit that we have been unthankful, that we have taken your blessings for granted. And this morning, Heavenly Father, we recognize your command to rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks in all things, continually, in all things. This morning, Heavenly Father, we ask you to have mercy upon our hearts. And Father, we just ask you, Lord, to rekindle a joy and an attitude of rejoicing in our heart. A rejoicing that causes us to look through the lens of faith and just see all of the things that you have done for us. Our salvation is settled. Thank you, Father God, for all of the things that you've done in our lives. Help us, I pray this morning, Lord, to have a prayerful spirit and have a thankful heart for all that you have blessed us with. I pray, Father God, that as we dismiss this morning and we look forward to Thanksgiving Day with our family and our friends, that as that time approaches, Lord, not will we just give thanks on that day, but Father, we will begin at the gate, right here, right now. And with a grateful heart and with a thankful heart, we acknowledge you and honor you and thank you for all of your blessings in our life. Thank you for all that you have blessed us with and all that you do for us on a daily basis and all that you have done for us. In light of eternity, no one can pluck us out of the hand of our Savior. We are secure in Him. All things have been given to us, and we have received all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh God, let us recognize that we have much to be thankful for through the lens of faith. Go with each family, I pray now, Lord, and bless them. Let favor shine upon their lives. Minister to the needs of every household. Bring increase into their life. Bring increase into their spirit. More joy, more grace, more power. Touch their hearts, touch their lives as we seek you, O God. And we will forever give you praise for it and forever give you the thanks for it. We ask it in Jesus' name.